52. School Clothes. Milgram found the housekeeper in the kitchen, where Brown had said he would be, rinsing breakfast dishes before putting them in the washer. He was a small man, in dark trousers and a crisp white jacket. Milgram walked into the kitchen barefooted, wrapped in an oversized robe of thick burgundy terry cloth. The man looked at his feet.
"He said you'd give me a haircut," Milgram said.
"Sit," the housekeeper said. Milgram sat on a maple chair by the matching table and watched as the housekeeper tidied the last of the breakfast things into the washer, closed it, and turned it on.
"Any chance of some eggs?" Milgram asked.
The housekeeper looked at him blankly, then brought out electric clippers, a comb, and a pair of scissors from a black briefcase on the white counter. He covered Milgram in what Milgram assumed, jam spots, had been the breakfast tablecloth, ran the comb through Milgram's damp hair, then began to cut it, as if he knew what he was doing. When he was done with the scissors, he used the clippers on the back and sides of Milgram's neck. He stepped back, considering, then used comb and scissors for a few minor adjustments. He used a napkin to swipe Milgram's hair clippings off the tablecloth onto the floor. Milgram sat there, waiting to be presented with the mirror. The man brought a broom and long-handled dustpan and started sweeping up the hair. Milgram stood up, thinking that there was always something sad about seeing one's own hair on the floor, removed the tablecloth, shook it out, and put it on the table. He turned to go.
"Wait," said the housekeeper, still sweeping.
When the floor was clean again, he put his barber things back in the briefcase and brought out a yellow cloth measuring tape, a pen, and a notebook.
"Take off robe," he said.
Milgram did, glad that he hadn't followed Brown's orders too literally and was wearing his underpants. The housekeeper quickly and efficiently took his measurements.
"Shoe size?"
9, Milgram told him. "Narrow?"
"Medium."
The housekeeper made a note of this.
"Go,"
he said to Milgram, making a shooing gesture with his notebook.
"Go, go."
"No breakfast?"
"Go."
Milgram left the kitchen, wondering where Brown might be. He looked into the office study, where Brown had taken his whiskey the night before. It was furnished like the rest of the house, but with more dark wood and more vertical stripes. And, he saw, it had books. He stepped to the door, peered around, swiftly crossed to what he'd taken for a bookcase. It was one of those pieces where the doors of a cabinet have been covered with the leather spines of antique books. He bent, taking a closer look at the remains of these skinned volumes. No, this was a single piece of leather, molded over a wooden form shaped like the spines of individual books. There were no actual titles or authors' names in the carefully faded gold stamping across these. It was a very elaborate artifact, mass-produced by artisans of one culture in vague imitation of what had once been the culture of another. He opened it. The shelf behind was empty. He quickly closed it. In the hallway, he examined the housekeeper's handiwork in a mirror, dotted with faux age spots. Tidy. Hyper-conventional. A lawyer's haircut, or a prisoner's. He stood on the cool gray marble, at the foot of the slit of stairwell. He clicked his tongue quietly, imagining the sound, sucked up the slit. Where was Brown? He went upstairs and collected the plastic garbage bag from the bathroom, along with his razor, toothbrush, and toothpaste. He went to the boy's bedroom, where he added his underpants to the contents of the bag. Naked under the oversized robe, he removed his book from the Paul Stewart coat draped over the ladder-backed chair. He'd helped himself to the coat from the rack in a deli shortly before Brown had found him. It hadn't been new when he'd gotten it, already a season old, and it was past cleaning now. He put the book on the blue desk, picked up the coat, and took it into the closet. He put it on the hanger closest to the boy's blue blazer.
"I've brought you a friend," he whispered. "You don't have to be frightened anymore."
He closed the closet door behind him and was picking up his book when Brown opened the door from the hall. He looked at Milgram's haircut. He handed him a crisp paper bag from McDonald's, marked by a few translucent spots of grease,
picked up the garbage bag, tied a knot in its neck, and left with it. Grease from the Egg McMuffin dripped on the robe, but Milgram decided that that was not his problem. In what he took to be little more than an hour, the housekeeper entered, carrying two paper shopping bags and a black vinyl hanger bag, all marked Joseph A. Bank. "That was quick," Milgram said. "McLean," said the housekeeper, as if that explained it. He dropped the two bags on the bed and was turning to the closet door with the hanger bag when Milgram took it from him. "Thanks," Milgram said. The man turned and left. Milgram opened the hanger bag and found a black three-button jacket, wool poly blend. He laid it on the bed, atop the hanger bag, and started unpacking one of the shopping bags. He found two pairs of navy blue cotton briefs, two pairs of medium-weight gray socks, a white sleeveless undershirt, two blue Oxford button-downs, and a pair of dark gray wool trousers with no belt loops, tabs, and buttons at either side of the waistband. He remembered Brown having taken his belt the first day. The other contained a shoebox. In it was a pair of rather sad rubber-soled leather Oxfords, generic office wear. Also a black leather wallet and a plain black nylon carry-all. Milgram dressed. The shoes, which he thought visibly cheap, actually helped. They made him feel less like he was heading back to boarding school or joining the FBI. Brown entered, a blue and black striped tie in his hand. He was wearing a dark gray suit and white shirt. Milgram had never seen him in a suit before and assumed he'd just now removed the tie. "Put this on. We're taking your picture." He watched while Milgram removed his jacket and knotted the tie. He assumed ties were like belts, as far as he was concerned. "I need an overcoat," Milgram said, pulling on his new jacket. "You have one. You told me to put everything in the bag." Brown frowned. "Where we're going," Brown said, "you'll want a raincoat. Downstairs. You're having your picture taken." Milgram went downstairs, Brown behind him.